Tomorrow is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers who are here. It's my only chance to greet the mothers, because we don't have a mass here tomorrow. But it's also a good reminder to us of the importance of honoring our mothers, and especially of honoring our Blessed Mother. On Mother's Day, people always remark that we should honor mothers every day, but only once a year. Well, the same is true of Our Lady. We should honor her every day, not just on feast days. Today, of course, is the feast day of Our Lady of Fatima, one of the newest of the feast days in honor of Our Lady. Actually, it's an optional memorial, so perhaps some people might not honor her today, but my goodness, it seems like a perfect opportunity. It's right before Mother's Day. It's in the month of May. It's a Saturday. We can join together. We don't have the Anuwa Men's Choir here every day, just usually only on Saturdays. And Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. So let's honor Our Lady today. We have an image of her here in the sanctuary. What I'd like to reflect on today, in light of the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima, is the way that God works in history, the way he enters into time. Certainly, he entered into time through Our Lady back in 1917 when Mary appeared to three little children. The oldest was only 10 years old, Lucia. Her two cousins were even younger. Francisco was 9 years old. Jacinta was only 7 years old. And they were uneducated, poor, simple children. So she, out of the blue, out of heaven, she appears to these little children. It was an intervention into time, heaven breaking into earth, something otherworldly being present in this worldly situation. And you know the story of Fatima. She, Our Lady, spoke very personally to the children, taught them prayers, gave them advice about how to live, but also spoke about very big topics, including world wars. She gave them a vision of hell, topics that you don't even bring up to 7 and 9 year old children. But Mary spoke to the children about these things. So it's an example of God at work in history. Now, I think we can start with today's first reading, where it's another clear example of God intervening in history. I'm thinking especially of St. Paul and his companions traveling through what was Asia Minor, what's now Turkey. And we hear about all these places that they went to and all the places that they couldn't go to. They tried to go to the province of Asia, but they were prevented by the Holy Spirit. They wanted to go into Bithynia, which is a little bit north of where they were, still part of Turkey, and the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So they went further west toward the west coast of Turkey. They got to Troas. Now, Turkey is the farthest west part of Asia in the traditional division between Asia and Europe. And Paul suddenly gets this vision in the night, a Macedonian, meaning someone from the Greek side of the sea there, the European side, says, come over to Macedonia and help us. And so, led by that vision, led by the Holy Spirit, they get in a ship and they cross over. So it's not a very big trip from Troas to Macedonia, but geographically, if you consider that the boundary between Asia and Europe, it's a huge step. That's how Christianity made the leap from the Middle East and Asia or Western Asia to Europe. Now, they didn't think of that. Paul didn't think of that. He didn't even know probably about that. But looking back, we say, well, my goodness, the whole history of Europe changed because of the arrival of Christianity. And because Europe became the center of world exploration many centuries later, Christianity spread from Europe to much of the world. God intervening in history in ways we can't see in the moment. We know that now Europe has very rapidly lost its Christian identity. In fact, they don't even admit to having a Christian history anymore. It's kind of ironic. and the exploding churches are mostly in Africa and Asia. So God intervening in history. Now, it's one thing to say, oh, that happened 2,000 years ago in Troas and Macedonia. God worked, oh, way back then, back in the time of Jesus, back in the time of the apostles, sure. But the lesson is not just that God did work in history, but that God does work in time, meaning right now, because where does history begin? It begins here. What we're doing now becomes tomorrow's history. Let's think about Our Lady of Fatima. In 1917, World War I had already broken out, terrible war that influenced the very Europe that was evangelized centuries before, tearing Europe, Western Europe apart. The Russian Revolution had not yet taken place. That was in November of 1917, meaning the Communist Revolution. And that was another historical upheaval. It's as if Mary came onto the scene in history in preparation for what was to come. And she even said this. She said, there's a war going on now. If people don't return to God, if they don't repent and convert, another war will happen, a worse war. And that is what happened. In the time of World War I, they didn't call it World War I because it was just the war, the World War. When it ended, and another one started in 1939 or 1941, depending on how you measure it, that was then understood to be a second World War. And Mary spoke about it. So, in the experience of the little children, it was a personal encounter with Mary, a personal experience of God breaking into time and relating to them in their current situation. But in the bigger picture, it was God breaking into time through these little children, and the message given to them spreads to the world. And this is what's happening all the time. This is why this is an important thing to reflect on. God speaks to us now, and depending on how we respond, God uses us to further his kingdom, his message now. I like the story of this image of Our Lady of Fatima. I hope the family doesn't mind me mentioning it. This is not our image. This is on loan to us from the Sagun family. Sitting here. So they just got this a few months ago or last year. And one of the members of the family told me what happened was his father had a stroke on October 13th last year. October 13th, that's another Fatima date. It's the date of the miracle of the sun. Now that sounds like a terrible thing to have a stroke, but the family understood an intervention of God into the life of the father, the husband, and he was given an opportunity to slow down, maybe reflect. I don't know. I didn't know the father myself, but he died several weeks later, in November. Looking back, the family said, well, Our Lady of Fatima broke into their life, into their family. And then I learned later, the man's wife, who's also here, Teresita, her birthday's today, May 13th, our feast of Our Lady of Fatima. So they got this image in honor of Our Lady because they recognize that Our Lady of Fatima has had personal impact on their family. Okay, that's just another example of the same point I'm trying to make here. God is alive. He's not a historical a remnant of the past. He's not just an old-fashioned idea. He's alive. He's working now. He's speaking now. He's intervening now. He's on the move now. That's certainly true. The question is, will we respond to him? Go back to the experience of Paul and his companions, the missionaries. They hear this or receive this understanding from the Holy Spirit that they're not supposed to go to Asia. Well, what if they said, we're going to go anyway? We're going to do what we want. We're not going to follow the Holy Spirit. What would happen? Well, we don't know. We don't know. But saying no to God interferes with the unfolding of his plan, at least in us, if not through us to others. We don't know how God would work around us or how he works around people who say no. What we do know is that when people say yes to God, when people respond to the action of God in their personal life, then that becomes the means by which God acts in the world. So when we hear, come to Macedonia, come over to Macedonia and help us, the right response is, yes, I will do what the Lord wants me to do. And sometimes we don't hear messages by visions in the night, usually, but we do get an inner sense because the Holy Spirit is at work in us. What are we supposed to do? Or what are we not supposed to do? If our conscience is alive at all, we do have a sense of what we're supposed to do. And when we say yes to it, God works through us. When we say no to it, God has to work around us. He never stops. But he might not be able to make progress through us if we're not saying yes. So my simple message here today on the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima is to acknowledge God breaking into time. God knows not only the personal details of our life, but he knows the whole sweep of world history. He knows there's a war going on in Ukraine. He knows that we're very far from there and we don't have any practical impact on that war, but he still wants us to pray for peace. One of the messages of Our Lady of Fatima is to pray the rosary for peace because there was a war going on. Well, God knows these things and we only see our little part of it. So when we hear, come over to Macedonia and help us, that's the thing to do, even if we don't know how it fits into the bigger picture. Maybe God isn't asking us to go to Macedonia, but he might be asking us to go to a relative or a friend or a sick friend, or talk to someone who's lonely or in need or is struggling with their faith or in darkness. There's a lot of people and situations to which God sends us every day, usually in our own homes and families and workplaces. But that's where God sends us. And if we say yes to him, then kingdom of God grows through us in the world. God breaks into time even now. So let us respond with a yes to God. Let us respond with yes to the guidance of Our Lady, Our Lady of Fatima, Our Lady of the Liturgical Life, Our Lady of Sorrows, Our Lady of Lourdes. We have all these images of Our Lady because Mary breaks into time in different ways. I'll add one last thought about that because this is part of my reflection. I know people sometimes complain about having too many images of Our Lady or too many titles of Our Lady. And nobody here probably thinks like that. But you know, people sometimes complain about these things, especially people who are not Catholic. They don't understand why we have maybe more than one image of the same person. And I was in my office thinking about this, and I have on my wall 3 pictures of my parents. I have a picture of my parents together, and some kind of a studio portrait taken maybe, I don't know, 25 years ago. I have a picture of them with all of us, our siblings, about back in the 1970s, sitting in front of our house. And there's a picture of the same people, exact same people, about almost 40 years later, not long before my father passed away. And that's on the wall too. I said, well, someone might come in and say, why do you have all these pictures of the same people? Well, because it's representing different moments in the journey. We're not just fixed in one moment of time. We're in a journey of time. And God is with us through the whole journey. Mary is with us through the whole journey. So this is what a feast day like today reminds us of. God at work in time. Our mother with us in time. So when we pray, we're not just talking to someone far away or way in the past. We're talking to someone who's with us right here and now. And that's what we're being invited to do. Praying with Our Lady for peace in the world, joining her in saying yes to the will of God.